You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, honor yourself, honor your presence. Grace, God, grace and mercy upon us. Move the heart and the mind back into yesterday, that we might be the immediate beneficiaries, even now. So deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, jobs and country and the world. God, may many come to know you in these days. And our God, we're going to look to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen. In Luke chapter 2, we were reminded, as God rehearses for us, history. And in Luke chapter 2, you would recall, in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the house of city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And now he's going there. They're going all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's taxation time, etc. And in the process of that movement, verse 11, and a unique thing happened. A child was born. Verse 11, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel and multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, that was a very, very special, unique event, to say the least. And in the process of that, you'll notice they went to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is just out of the way, isn't any place at all. And so in order to capitalize on where they went and why they went, and what they found, we'll try to rehearse that for us in our memory. You'll remember from our study of first the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the woman at the well said, I know that Messiah has all the answers. He is the one we're waiting for and looking for. And we shared together, the Lord Jesus answered and said, verse 26, I am the Messiah. And then we took time each session to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, all three words, Anointed One, Christ, Messiah, all the same, that he is one consecrated, anointed, set apart, sanctified. He is the prophet, as we share together, of all prophets. He is the priest of all priests. He is the king of all kings. Wonderfully so. And in the process, here he is speaking to this woman. And she understood a little bit, not a lot. She just knew there was somebody very special. And we just rehearsed a little bit to remind how special the Christ, the Messiah, was according to the scriptures. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. He is the promised one, the one who is predicted to come. And if you and I took time, which we aren't, in Genesis 3:15, he has to be, will be, of the seed of a woman. And that seed of a woman will take place by way of the nation of Israel, by way of the tribe of Judah, by way of the house of David. And in chapter 7, you would recall, in verse 14, in the light of the context, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, that is, God with us. So here, a seed of the woman. A woman is going to conceive, going to be a virgin. And she's going to conceive of it for a having a child. That child is a unique child. He's the promised, predicted one. Isaiah chapter 9. And in Isaiah chapter 9, picking up, going, if I may, directly into verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called the Wonderful, Incredible, Extraordinary, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All of those are connected with the Messiah, the Christ. Of the increase of his government, verse 7, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this and make it happen. So now, here he is, seed of the woman, going to be born of a virgin, is going to conceive. We're told in Isaiah 9:6 that he is going to be not just the regular birth as we shared in Sunday school. He is going to have an incarnation. He's going to go, you and I are born, as we said, with the tangerines and that. You and I are born of parents, man, male, and female. He is not. He is incarnate. He is going to go and put on, clothe himself. He's going to cover himself with humanity in a very special way. It is the incarnation, not just an ordinary birth, an extraordinary one now. And that child who is born from his human side, from the God side of it, a son is given. He is the God-man, the unique, wonderful God-man. He's going to be born. That's clear, page after page, year after year, century after century. You said the same thing, God. Each time you add to it, so that we're going to know, so that they could know. Micah chapter 5. In Micah chapter 5, God again speaks. May I go directly to verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, house of bread, Bethlehem is, Ephrata, that means fruitful, fruitful, abundance, fertility. Thou Bethlehem Ephrata, Ephrata. Though thou as a district, Bethlehem in the district of Ephrata, of the tribe of Ephraim. Among, though thou be little, verse 2, among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And so here, God, you're going to give us some more information. A child is going to be born. A child is going to be born of a virgin. Going to be born of a woman in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is going to be born. Why couldn't be? No, can't be born in Nazareth. Got to come all the way down from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Joseph is of the line of David. So though thou be little, insignificant, very small, among the thousands of Judah, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands, but in this little town, 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem, this little village, there's less than 1,000 people among all the thousands of Judah. It's just this little town, little place. Wow. You'd go right through it and wouldn't even know it. Wow. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. He's going to come to me. God is going to give his son, and his son is going to come and step out of heaven into that humanity, into that body that God has prepared for him. And he's going to exercise his wonderful purpose to be perfect man and perfect God. He's going to go all the way to the cross and rise again. He came out from heaven. He's going to return. He came from the Father. He must go back to the Father. And thus, shall he come forth unto me, the Father. That is to be ruler. This one that is coming forth is the ruler. He is the King of Israel. He is the Prince of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Priest of priests, the Prophet of prophets. He's going to come. And whose goings forth, his existence, hath been from old, from everlasting, eternity to eternity. He's always God, always continually, forever God. And he who steps out, a son is given, who is God, who never has had a beginning and never an ending. He steps out of heaven into earth, into a human body. A wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. Now, what is even more astounding, as wonderful as that is, what makes it so astounding is the way he did it. The way he did it. Wow. Born of a woman, born of a virgin, conceived by the Spirit of God, born in a little town of Bethlehem, just a little old town of Bethlehem. Now, in the light of that, and from old, from ancient time, and as we said, you want to hang on to the word in verse 2, it says, though thou be little, insignificant, small, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Small, small, small. The one who is going to come into that little city, God is going to do the most awesome thing ever, as it were. He's going to step into humanity in order to save humanity. He's going to do something wonderful. He's going to identify with Adam, the first one, he being the last one, and he's going to go and inject, make possible, a cure for sure, to be able to know God, to have life. We all are without God, no life. But God wants us to have life. That must include God. God is life. So now, having said that, though thou be small, then we'll take a little look to get a handle on that. Very small, very simple, very insignificant. Now, you know, just for the sake of a small exercise, over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And in 1 Samuel 17, picking up, please, in verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah. See, little Bethlehem. Why do you have to go there, Mary and Joseph? Because it must be of the house of David, in the line of David. David, 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 David's line. We know it has to be. He has to be in the line of David, the Messiah. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. He had his three eldest sons, etc., and they're all there. Now, remember, Samuel is looking to anoint a king. He doesn't know who, but he's going to go. And he goes to the house of David, because that's where it has to come from. You just read it in Micah 5:2. He must come of the line of David. And so out of David, way back before that, he went to little Bethlehem, little old place. And there he found the sons of Jesse. And there he found the youngest son of Jesse, verse 14. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. David is the youngest son in the little city of Bethlehem, of the little family of Jesse. Wow. And remember, Jesse goes all the way back to Obed, to Ruth, to Boaz, all the way back. It must be of the house of David, must be of the tribe of Judah, must be. Now, here we are, and David working our way. Nothing's big, nothing's big. David's the youngest son, and God picks him because he had a heart for God. And David qualifies. Verse 28. And remember, David went to see the Philistines with Goliath and all of that. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few? There's a little word, little. Few sheep, few sheep, little, and few sheep. You are nobody, David. You are the least of the sons of Jesse. You have the most puny job of all of them. You are given a few sheep to keep you occupied. In the wilderness. I know thy pride, thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David didn't come down to see the battle. David came down to do the assignment given him by his father. Thus, he has a very few sheep, very, very young, a nobody. You remember when Israel was chosen? You don't have to turn there. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7, God chose Israel to be a nation when they were, chapter 7, verse 7, the fewest of all people. If you went up and down the world spinning around, you would find the smallest group of people with the little group of Israelites. God chose the smallest group. Youngest son, few sheep, nobody. That's what he did. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, or if you would, to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 10. We're going to try to make it so you can't miss it. 1 Kings chapter 17. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, oh, so small, so little. 1 Kings chapter 17. And you would remember, if you would, Elijah in the famine. I mean, there's no drought, famine. And he goes to the widow woman as God has instructed him. And he goes there. And I'm going to pick up the can if I can. In verse 10, of the middle, you go near the end of the verse for time's sake. He goes to the widow woman and says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." There's your word, little, small, insignificant. And to boot, little water to drink. Remember, there is no water. It's a drought. Verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little," there's your word again, "a little oil in a cruse, a little bucket with oil in it, just a little bit. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, so you know it isn't going to take much to make my biscuit. I only need two sticks. Two sticks of wood to burn. By the time the two sticks of wood burn, I will have made my biscuit. That I may go in and dress it for me." "And my son, we're going to eat it. We're going to split the biscuit and eat it and die." The end of verse 12. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But, make me thereof a little cake first." A little, there's your word. A little cake. But I only have a little cake. I'm going to cut the little cake in two and split it between me and my son. We're going to die. And Elijah says, "Listen, I want you to make me a little cake first. I want you to make me a little cake." Well, boy, God, if I make you a little cake, what's left for my son and myself? "And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son." Now, how can you do that? You're going to take nothing, and I'm going to give it to you, Elijah. And when I'm done making nothing, you're going to go and tell me that when everything's gone, I'm going to have enough for me and my son. That's right. And God did that. Didn't he? He did that wonderfully. And the barrel of oil wasted not, etc. Wow. And God just kept her. But the barrel never went out. The meal never went bad. Mice, rats never got it. Wow. For 3 years. 3.5 years. I got to tell you, I'm impressed. Just a little God. A little town. Why didn't you pick Jerusalem? But you didn't. He didn't pick Jerusalem. Now, so having said that, over if you would please, to Ezra. Ezra in chapter 9. Now looking, God's a great God and does able to do great things, but when push comes to shove, God, you do little things. So here, Ezra chapter 9, here in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they're having their problems, and they just need grace, the enemies all around them, the Samaritans, etc. Chapter 9, verse 8. Now for a little space, little, insignificant. Now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God. 70 years of captivity. Here we are. We don't have a whole lot. We're going to go and build the temple that isn't anywhere near like Solomon's. And all we have is a little people, 70,000 or more, just a handful of us. And we're going to do it. And the enemy's all around us. Wow. Just give us a little space. A little space. To leave us, verse 8, a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, security, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. God, times are tough. The times, going down the corridor of time, and it goes downhill. And the days of David, the days of Solomon are gone. The days of the divided kingdom are gone. And here we are sliding down through history. God, we don't have a lot. How about just a little God of grace to help us? We aren't asking to be able to go back and have everything, because we're in a different part of history. We're on moving to the next phase of history. Over, if you would please, to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. In Nehemiah chapter 9, picking up, if I can, in verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. Why? For thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, verse 32, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little, there's the word, before thee. God, I hope it isn't too small for you to pay attention to. Is anything too small for you to pay attention to? I hope we haven't got it so far down that you don't even know we exist. Let not the trouble, verse 32, the middle, let not the trouble seem too little before thee, that has come upon us, and on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, God, thou art just in all that is brought upon us. As you did it, you're doing the right thing. You're very fair, very gracious, very merciful. The end of verse 33. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. We have done wrong. Not you, God. We have. We're the ones that are wrong. Wow. Now, in the process of all of that, over, if you would please, over in Ezekiel, back over there for a sec. Ezekiel chapter 11. And so here we are looking to help God, a little grace. Are we too small? Are things too small? Too small? Huh. Chapter 11, Ezekiel, picking up, please, in verse 16. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them off among the heathen, that's Israel, and Babylon and all of it, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little, most insignificant sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. And wherever I scattered them, that little Jewish community over here, over there, if they look to me, I'm going to be watching them. and taken care of them. That's why the Jews, with all the anti-Semitism, with all the awful, persistent persecution and atrocities, they still exist. And God has blessed them. You know, more than I do, but you know the San Fernando, what's the one out there in South, you know, where they do the computer network, all the big San, you know, whatever it is out there, not San Francisco, that they don't do stuff for there that you want. Down in the next one down, south of there. With the computers. And they do it for the whole world. And that's getting clipped. You know, that whole area is getting clobbered now because of the new policies. And so now, looking, that having to think, because we can't run, we have to move. We have to move out of California. We have to get out of there. Now, do you know, and they do, that all the space, everything we got is coming out of those little chips and the rest of it. Do you know the next country that is equal to us? That's Israel. Israel is equal to out there in their ability and what they do. Isn't that interesting? Israel is. Wow. Now, God, you're going to help them. That's right. I'm going to help them. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and you know, over in John chapter 6, on our way back, if you can, John chapter 6, and I'll go directly, if I can, to verse 9. Six and nine. Remember, the Lord is going to feed the 5,000, 15,000 actually or more. Verse 9. Here, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small or little, insignificant fishes. But what are they among so many? In other words, here we got five little biscuits, as it were, and two little fishes to put use. And we got all these people, 15,000 or so people sitting there. Now, if you can just use your imagination, just figure that out. What would you do? You're going to take your peanut butter sandwich out. You only got half a sandwich. You're going to share it with them all. Now, wow, wow. God, that's not just a little, just a little. Why couldn't we? No, God, you're going to take nothing. You're going to take nothing and make it something. And remember now, when he's all done, verse 12, and when they were filled, he took all the baskets. All the baskets were filled. And when he brought them back, they're all full. And all of the of all that went out in full baskets, 12 of them, they all came back full. All came back full. Not one. It looked like no one took anything. And every one of all of those thousands of people had all they wanted. Wow. Now, having said that, a little. Wow. So we got a little. And God, now when you come to us, you call us in your wonderful grace when God gives you his word. My little children, little children. Now who wants to? I'm a big adult. Little children. And you help us, God. Except if you come as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. So now, God, here we are looking. And we're ever so small, we need to be small enough for God to be great enough. And God is so great that all else is so small. Now, God, how are you going to demonstrate for our poor humans, for us humans, that you are so magnificent? You're God-sized and we're man-sized. We're just little. That's all. Little children. And you're very big. Now, I want to understand God. I want to learn to trust you. I want to understand what you've done for me and the extraordinary way you have made an expression for me to understand that. So over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke again and Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, remember now, little things, insignificant, little. Now, God, what did you do? Well, and you know little things, just to remind you, that when you see great big oak trees came from a little acorn. Little old acorn. Big, giant oak trees. And you take a grain of wheat, if you were to pick one in the field, and the grain of wheat, the little grain that you put in the ground, and there's that little thing, it's full of grains, many, many, many grains. By one grain, many, many, many. And atoms, molecules, wow, ever so small. The millions and billions of galaxies, stars, trillions of stars, trillions of galaxies, they keep going up. I don't know how many billions there are, and they say the billions, trillions, who knows? What an awesome thing the universe is in its finite infiniteness. Wow, it's so infinite. But you know, it isn't just that. I just clipped it out of one of the magazines from whatever it was. And all the pictures taken with a special microscope. And you know that if we go out and go out into space and we take a great power telescope, etc., to the spaceship, we look, we keep seeing more and more and more. And we keep going billions, trillions, trillions, trillions. And you know, it's so big, and yet it is so small. Now, if we go the other way, and we go the other way into the microscopic world, we get smaller and smaller and more and more. And we don't exhaust the microscopic world, nor the telescopic world. We don't exhaust them. Just wonderfully, wonderfully there. Big, ever so big, ever so small. Ever so small. Remember, atoms. Your body's made up of atoms. Atoms, and they are human beings, molecules. You can see right through them, thousands and trillions and trillions and trillions. So small. Full of life. Full of movement. So no matter where we go, God, you're wonderfully, wonderfully big. And you explain and describe your infiniteness by finiteness. And we have a universe with trillions and et cetera stars, galaxies. And all that does is remind us of how big you are, because it's small. And we go in the microscopic world, and we look through the microscope and the telescope and all those, and we see it's small, and there's no end to it. Boy, is it small. That's right. God said, I want you to know how big I am by the small. If I made big things to you, but see, nothing's big. Nothing's big. Now, having said all that and keeping that over, if you would, so a baby is born, that's right. And you know, a little baby is born, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Little town of Bethlehem, very insignificant. It was full of people because the taxes were due. People were there, pay taxes. And they were in a manger where you feed the animals, take care of the animals. She took a swaddling cloth, which is a rectangle, a piece of cloth like a hanky rectangle, and then it has a little band coming out like a bandage, it would be, a little bandage hanging off the corner, and you'd wrap in that sort of swaddling cloth, and you wrap that in the little bandages to tie it. And so that's what they had, a plain swaddling cloth, and the baby is wrapped in swaddling cloth. That's what the baby's going to be in. And you have it again, as you read, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here he is, a small babe, frail, faulty. Wow. Look, so there's nothing solid here. Very small, in a manger, nothing of any importance. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and give that unique, wonderful expression. I'm going to take that little body and I'm going to wrap myself into it in a unique way to be the God-man. And you know what I'm going to do that's so wonderful. I'm going to go and make a little baby just like you, like everybody else. And that little baby is going to be the Messiah, the Christ. And in that little baby, wrapped in ordinary clothes, in the bin where the animals feed, there you are, just a little baby. Who knows? Who cares? Ah, the prophet of prophets, the priest of priests, the king of kings, in that little place, God. A little baby is bound in a body. The little baby is bound in a body. And Christ is bound in the baby. And the baby is bound in the cloth. And the little baby is going to cry. The little baby is going to cry. The little baby is going to make it wordless. No words. No understanding. The baby's going to make a noise. The God of forever has humbled himself to that little baby, to that little noise. Is anyone paying attention? Ever so small. God. Wow. Awful small. The loudest thing God could say. He said it. And then he's going to tell us, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God has spoken in these last days by the prophets. But now he is speaking by his Son, the little baby, God. In the flesh, just like me, little one, little, limited, nothing. God, are you interested in the infiniteness, in your infiniteness, in my finiteness? I'm so little, and you're so big, God. Wow. And here we are, just so little. So little, dear friends, and God is so big. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now we're going to take the ordinary cloth and put it around an ordinary baby, but not ordinary at all, extraordinary. And God, you're going to go and do something wonderful. You're going to go and have a little baby to be the Savior, the priest of priests, the prophet of prophets, the king of kings. All of it, God, you're going to do. To do, God, Emmanuel, God with us. You're going to do that for me. You're going to do that for me. God, am I going to allow you to be who you are? You're magnificent. Little baby. Wow. Great God. Great God of wonders. God, I want you to be God-sized. I don't want you to shrink to be like me. I need to know how small everything is compared to you. I need to know how everything is insignificant compared to you. I want to be able to absorb littleness, so that I can understand greatness, so that I'll trust you the more, God. I have a great God, great Savior. We're to trust him. Absolutely. And thus, here you are in Luke. We'll close with that. Over in Luke. Picking up, please. In verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good news. Wonderful, wonderful good tidings. Not bad tidings. Good tidings. Tidings delightful and joyous. What is so delightful and joyous about a little baby making a noise? Because it happens to be God who humbled himself to the very lowest of low so that you and I could know how infinitely, marvelously, awesomely, awesomely awful, awesome you are, God. Wow. So now, God, here I am, and I want to know. So, you remember, if you would, Rospigliosi's palace in Rome, and you remember, we shared it, the Guido Rene's famous fresco, which is a painting done with watercolors on wet plaster, way up in the ceiling in that palace. Way up. He did the dawn. The dawn is what he did up there, lofty, up in that lofty ceiling. And he painted it. Painted the dawn. And in the process, the goddess of dawn, daylight, dawn, night, morning. Wow. And looking at it, you have to look up. When you stand on the cement floor down below in the palace and look up and remember, it's very hard for hurt your neck. It's a glorious thing. It was the most wonderful thing for that day. But in what he did was noted in Rome. Wow. Of all the things, wow. And you look up, but the owner of the palace went, you know, because it was so hard to study the detail that he did up there. Wow. So he went and put a big mirror down on the bottom so you can go and stand on the floor and look down in the mirror and see up in the ceiling. And you could study up there. You couldn't look up. God, too big, too great, too much. God, what did you do? I'm going to make it small enough. I'm going to make it so you can see myself, see who I am in my son. I want you to pay attention to my son. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Pay attention to him. And by the way, when I'm finished, he's going to be wrapped in a tomb with clothes just like that. And the clothes are going to be empty, and he will have risen from the grave. I want you to pay attention to the swaddling clothes. He starts with them, and he ends with them. Pay attention. He's God. Look down. God, I'd look out. God, where are you? And you have his word and his wonderful presence and his wonderful son, so that no one in all the world, we can't get rid of Jesus. We'd like to, people would, but you can't get rid of him. And the terrible thing is, we can't get rid of the fact that he was crucified, buried, and risen. And we can't get away from the fact that he rose again, and we have no answer. The religions of the world, the governments of the world, the education of the world, the mentality of the world, the morality of the world, has no answer. God, you must be God. That's just what I'm trying to tell you. I'm God. Pay attention. Our Father, thank you for your grace and kindness and patience. Thank you very much for me. You've been kind. Help us a little bit. Help us to enjoy the infiniteness of being in your presence in a finite way. Help us to enjoy the immenseness of your invisibleness by looking to you in Christ Jesus, looking at thy word, and realizing you are an ever-present help. You are a wonderful, wonderful God in whose presence we never can get out of, never can leave it, ever, ever, ever. And God, you've said it in a way so that all of the skeptics and all the people that want to play and walk away from it can do so. But the believing heart that will go to that little stall and see the babe in swaddling clothes can stand before the cross and see the Savior, can stand before the empty tomb and know that thou art God. Here we are. God, may we be counted among those that know and honor you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please. If you would, 548. 548.